You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
If you notice in our verse of Luke 19, in verse number 11, we learn that Jesus is teaching a parable. Jesus is teaching a parable. A parable is a story that Jesus would often use to tell his audience about something that was familiar to them in order for him to teach truths to them about God. So he would use something that his audience was familiar with to teach them about the things of God. And throughout the Old Testament and specifically the New Testament, there's some good parables in there. Very good parables. But this morning, it's important for us to understand that the parable we're going to look at is a parable about the kingdom of God. What is this parable about? The kingdom of God. And so that brings about the first important question: what is the kingdom of God? Now, there are a number of definitions and so forth, but let's look at one verse of scripture for me to answer this question. Let's go to Romans 14. Romans 14 and verse number 17. And y'all don't fake it. Go to it on your app, or if you got a Bible like me, find Romans 14 and notice verse 17. And notice Paul writes, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Paul says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is not based upon the natural. God's kingdom is eternal, or it has to do with the things that we cannot see. Now, when we conduct ourselves or live based upon the kingdom of God, it affects the natural. It affects our body. It affects our mind, our soul, and it affects things that we can possess. But notice the text, young people. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Righteousness. It has to do with God's way of doing things, what he reveals to us every Sunday. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Every message that we get is teaching us how to live based upon principles of the kingdom of God. Are y'all with me? Peace. The kingdom of God is peace or prosperity. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants or wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul does prosper. And so we have to learn the kingdom way to have peace or prosperity. When you go to school or college, you're not going to learn the kingdom way on how to prosper. They're going to teach you about the world's system. And the world's system, young people, will pass away. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass, but not God's word or that which pertains to God or the kingdom of God. But what we learn in God's house is going to help us to prosper. What you learn here is going to give you a guarantee or a sure reward because it's connected to God. Y'all still with me? And finally, the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be happy in life. Even when we go through trials and even when we have disappointment and pain, God wants us to have some joy. God wants us to be happy. Look at somebody say, God wants us to be happy. Yeah. And not like the world. See, the world will give you joy, but it can't compare to the joy that's found in the Holy Spirit. And so based upon this verse, the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. What else is it? Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I want what God has for me. What about you? I want what's in the kingdom of God. How many would be honest and say, you want that? Yeah, I want that. Let's go a little bit further. Because again, the parable is about the kingdom of God. And you can't see the kingdom of God naturally speaking with your eyes. You can't see it. It's a faith thing. And so let's look at some more truths about the kingdom of God. Y'all still with me? All right, let's start in John 3. And let me prove something that I just said if you were paying attention. John 3:3, and this is Jesus answering a man named Nicodemus. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, one is born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. You got to be born again to have some joy. You got to be born again to prosper the way God wants you to prosper. You got to be born again if you're going to choose to do the right thing. See, before I got born again or gave my life to the Lord, I was a slave to sin. And I wanted to do right, but I didn't have no power to do right and to continue to do right. But when I gave my life to Jesus, and when he filled me with the Holy Spirit, I could not only know what was right to do, I could do it and continue therein. In order, young people, to experience or see the kingdom of God for yourself, you got to be born again. See, the Bible says that the world, young folk, is blinded by the god of this world. The god of this world is Satan. And so the natural man can't see the kingdom of God. But when you repent of your sin and make Jesus Lord and Savior, then the veil is removed off your eyes. And now you can see. You're like, oh, now I see. Now I understand. You must be born again. There's a better way to live than the club. But folk that's in the club, they can't see that there's a better way. There's a better way than getting high. But folk that's getting high, they can't see that there's a better way. Look at somebody say, you must be born again. Born again. You got to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. It's got to be your choice. Because there's a kingdom of God. And there's a kingdom of darkness, which is ruled by the devil. Two kingdoms. Is no in between. No in between. Well, I don't believe that. You're blind. That's why you don't believe. And what I'm teaching, the Bible says, is foolishness to those who are lost. But I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad. I said, I'm so glad I'm saved. What about you? I can see. So in order to see the kingdom of God, we must be what?
Born again.
Born again. Let's go to Matthew 6:33. Again, the parable is about the kingdom of God, and we're getting a little bit more understanding about the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, familiar verse. But seek first the kingdom of, help me, God. Seek it when? Seek it when? This side. Seek it when? First. And all his righteousness, look at this, and all these things shall be added to you. You remember earlier where I told you the kingdom of God is unseen? But when we operate or live based upon the kingdom of God, it affects what we do see and the things that we can possess. Y'all remember that? At the time, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and they were concerned about things. They were concerned about clothes. They were concerned about food and heart's desires. Jesus dropped on him, look, if you just seek the kingdom of God first, all these things that you desire, I'll make sure I add them to you. That's the secret, young folk. You don't chase the bag, you chase Jesus. You chase the kingdom. You pursue his righteousness, and he'll add the bag to your life. Matter of fact, he just won't add one bag. The Bible talks about your vats, your accounts, so all your bags shall have plenty. See, the world wants one bag, but I want all the bags. Everything he wants me to have, I want it. If that be you, look at somebody and say, I want whatever he has for me. But the key is to pursue or seek the kingdom of God, what? First, it's okay to seek other things. It's okay to seek a degree. It's okay to seek your own business. That's okay. But the scripture says, what should we seek first? The kingdom of God and all that pertains to him. That's why Pastor was upset this morning and vexed in his spirit when it came to some of our young people not praising and worshiping God. See, praising and worshiping God is attached to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're not doing anything but hindering yourself when we don't seek him. And see, the Bible teaches, have you not read? We serve a jealous God. And so if he sees you more excited about other things, more so than his kingdom and his righteousness, that don't move him. That don't please him. I want to please him. What about you? I said, I want to please. It's okay to want a PS5 or 6 or whatever number they own. It's okay to want an Xbox One, 2, or whatever number they on. But don't let that be the primary thing you're going after. Go after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add it to you. And it don't even have to be Christmas or your birthday. You don't know how or when he'll do it, but he promised it. And how many know all of his promises, they are what? Yes and amen. Are you seeking him first? Do you make sure you pray every day? Are you making sure you in that word every day? Are you making sure you're thinking, talking, and doing the word? When we're doing that, we're showing Jesus that we're seeking his kingdom what? First. How many got some things that you want added to your life? Just be honest about it. How many got more than five things? I know I do. How many got some things you want added that's bigger than your paycheck? Some of you ain't even got no paycheck. So it behooves you, look at somebody and say, behoove, for you not to seek God. Every day, Daniel started seeking God. It was his custom as a child to seek God 3 times a day. That was his bit. He made sure every day I got to seek him. And God added to him money, position, respect. You look at Daniel's life. He was a prosperous man. But he sought God's kingdom first. And you know what? The folk he hung around had the same mindset. He had three particular friends. He hung around them same three, and they all had a kingdom mindset. You got to make sure who you hanging around has a kingdom mindset. Acts 14. So we're learning, right? If I want to see the kingdom of God, I need to be what? Oh, I got one answer right here. If I want to see the kingdom of God or experience it, I need to be what? No. Lord, have mercy. Let me go back. Number one, I need to be what? Born again. If I want to see the kingdom of God or experience it, I need to be what? Man, I got it typed out in English. Y'all work with a brother. If I want things added to my life, what do I need to do? That's the one y'all want to say. What do I need to do? Seek them. Or am I messing y'all up with seeing the kingdom? Come on, SAT takers. Come on now. If I want things added to my life, I need to what? Seek him. Worship him. Okay? All right. Stay with me, trendsetters. Acts 14. Acts 14. Now, this one right here going to help us. Acts 14, 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Look at this. And saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Many tribulations, young folk, is going to happen before you receive certain things out of the kingdom of God. Many tribulations. A tribulation is a test, a trial, when God has to examine your heart and see where you at. Yeah, before I do it for her, let me see if she gonna bring me consistently my tithe and my offering. Before I do it for him, let me see if he gonna have a lifestyle of prayer. Before I do it for them, let me see how they act in the church versus outside the church. Let me cause them to go through a little pain in their body and let me see where they at. Let me get somebody to talk about them or hate on them, or let me just delay their little plans for about 8 months. And let me see if they still gonna believe that I'm gonna do it. See, you're gonna go through things in this life, but don't let what you go through deceive you into thinking God ain't gonna do what he promised you in the kingdom. And you gotta understand that many tribulations are a part of the kingdom. You're gonna go through things. You're gonna go through some tough things. Sometimes you're going to go through things financially. You're going to go through things in your health. You're going to go through things in relationships, in the church, out the church, at school. Sometimes you're going to mess up. Look at somebody and say, trials are a part of life. But you got to endure them as a good soldier. You got to be a good soldier. Look at somebody and say, soldier up. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness or hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you just got to take them stripes. Sometimes you just got to take that beating. Sometimes you just got to take that cut because you're in a fight. Something is trying to keep you from possessing the kingdom of God, but you got to be a good soldier. You got to praise him anyhow. You got to keep praying anyhow. When it look like and feel like it ain't going to happen, you got to realize this is just part of the path. I'm headed to the kingdom. I'm headed to my blessing, and this is just part of it. Ahead of you, young folk, is trials and tribulations if you stay saved. Some of you young ones that are still under the wing of your parents, let me tell you something. Keep on living. Keep on trying to stand for Jesus, and you're going to awaken one day, and you're going to experience some trials. But remember, when your faith is being tried, we got to count it all joy. I said, we just got to count it all joy when we fall into various trials and tribulation, knowing that it's just a testing of our faith. And somebody is on point number three with me. Your faith is being tried, but I'm still got to praise. I'm still making my way to God's house. I'm still picking up the word throughout the week. I'm still listening to the podcast. I'm still going to revivals. It may be a struggle sometime, but I can't give up. I can't cast away my confidence. I know it has great reward. Anybody going through something right now, you got to hang in there. Look at the verse, continuing the faith. We can't give up. Help me encourage somebody, say, we can't give up. We got to continue in the truth, which is faith, because if we continue in it, the truth going to make us free. And I want God to make me free. I said, I want God to make me free in some areas. If I be honest, I'm not free. And I just haven't attained everything, young folk. I ain't got all the promises yet. I ain't got all my heart's desire. But I got to continue. I got to keep preaching. I got to keep teaching. Even sometime when it seemed like young folk ain't getting with me, woe be unto me if I don't preach the gospel. I got to keep coming in here with a word, because it's a young folk in here somewhere that's hungry. It's some young folk in here somewhere that's thirsting. They want a word. They want to do better. They want bigger. I got to continue in the faith. You got to continue in the faith. God knows exactly what you're going through. God knows exactly what you want, but it ain't going to be a bed of roses. You're going to have to fight for this blessing. You're going to have to strive for this blessing. You're going to have to show God that you really want it. Come here, Jacob. The Bible says he fought with an angel until the breaking of the morning. He said, I ain't going to let you go until you bless me. And that's the mindset we got to have, young folk. I am not going to stop until he bless me. Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. I'm talking about the kingdom. All right. So if I want to see the kingdom, what do I need to be? If I want things added to my life, what do I need to do? Seek them or worship them. And I got to understand, part of the kingdom is going through how many trials? There you go. In this parable, we remember it's about a certain man or a nobleman. The nobleman, young folk, represents Jesus. Jesus is the one that was going to a far country to receive a kingdom for himself. You know, Jesus had to go to heaven and receive or sit at the right hand of God. But we also know he coming back. I said he coming back. He coming back. Jesus, how many know Jesus coming back? That's what the Bible teaches. He will return. And so he tells his servants, which is the church or the saints. And the church includes young people. He gave each one of his servants in the parable some talents or some money, 10 minas, some pieces of money. And remember, it's a parable. Jesus has placed certain abilities and gifts in each one of his servants. Each one of us, we have something that the Lord put in us that we need to work. And so he tells his servants, do business till I return. Look at somebody say, do business. Do business. Until I come back, I need some young people, some young adults that have a business mindset. Enjoy being young, but we need to have what type of mindset? A business mindset. Number one, don't need to mind working. I need to work and produce something productive with my life. You're just not here just to be here. God has placed something in you to help your family, community, your city, as well as yourself. You don't want to waste your life away. Do business. Find what God wants you to find and put your hand to it and go to work. Business also has to do with efforts that cause success or accomplishments. I want you to put forth some mental effort, physical effort, financial effort, and other type efforts, and make success, reach some goals or accomplishments in life. See, if you got a good parent and they see that you're just wasting your potential, they stay on you all the time because they know you got potential to be productive or successful. But it's not enough for your parent or a teacher or a mentor or a pastor to see it. You got to see it. You got to see, man, God put this in me, and it may not be like the next person, but what he put in me, I need to use. I need to do business. I need to do business. Now, because we have a choice, young people, you can choose not to do business. If you choose not to be a business-minded young person or young adult, it says about you, you lazy. Somebody gonna take advantage of you. You wasteful. And you are more than likely, according to scripture, gonna end up broke and poor. Yeah, because you're not using what God put in you. Do business. Don't wait till you get out of school. No, start doing business right now. Don't wait till you go to middle school. Find some business and get busy. Are y'all with me? And so what I want to do as I get ready to close, God dealt with me, and I want to give us some essential principles for business-minded young men and young women. Now, I got a whole list of them, but these are just about four or five that the Lord told me to deal with this morning that some of us need to start, some of us need to repent and get back to doing, and some of us need to continue to do them. These are some principles that business-minded young people need to have. Are you ready? All right, let's go to John 9. John 9. Again, either start doing this, repent and get back to doing this, or continue doing it. John 9. Look at Jesus in John 9 and 4. I got a hungry church this morning? Okay. John 9 and 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. Jesus said, I got to do business. I got to work the works of him who sent me while it's what? Day. Look at how important he is. He's showing time. I got to work or do business while it's what? Day. Because the night is coming, or there's a different time coming where nobody can do work or business. First principle we need to see, young adults and especially teenagers, you got to learn how to prioritize your time. Jesus said, look, I'm going to use the daytime to do business or work because I can't do business or work at the nighttime. What is that saying about Jesus? Time is important. It's the only commodity, young people, in this life, or one of the primary commodities. Once time is gone, you can't get it back. You can get $5,000 and blow it. But over time, you can get that back. Yeah, you can get that back. You can get two good friends and lose them. They out your life. But guess what? You can get two more good friends. It may take you some time. You can have the car or the house of your dreams, and fire from heaven can rain down and burn up both of them. But guess what? You can get another house, and you can get another car. You can get one so good it make you forget about the other one. You can get things back in life. But time, young folk, can't get it back. Once time is gone, that's it. And so when you are business-minded, you enjoy being young, but you got to prioritize your time. You got, man, do I need to be playing this game right now? Or can I be somewhere reading a book? Mama used to make me read during the summer. She used to make me read articles and give her a report over during the summer. Because she would tell, Mama was a teacher, and she would say, Jerome, your brain needs to stay active. Mama, I'm on vacation. It's called summer break. No, you need to keep your brain working. You black, Jerome. You a black male. You got to be on your game. And Mama would have me, back then we had what was called newspapers. I don't even know if y'all know what a newspaper is. But we used to have newspapers, and I would have to go through. I would either have to read a sports article, a business article. I used to like the lifestyle section because I would get to learn about different people. But the point that I'm making is, she said, look, you always got time to play your video game. Get in here and read something. Learn something. Use your time wisely. Ask yourself, are you a big waster of time? Are you a procrastinator? Do you like to wait to the last minute to study or to clean things up? When you get a list from your parents, you like, well, she'll be home in 15 minutes. I start in 10 minutes because I can do this in about 5 minutes. Prioritize your time. Grandmama used to tell me, Jerome, when you get up out this bed, make your bed right then, and then you don't have to worry about it. But what I do, I get up, try to go in there, get me some honeycomb, some sugar smacks, watch some cartoon. You done cleaned the room and made the bed. Just wasting time. I could have been done did it and not even have to worry about it. But see, little things like that, young people, it builds up habits. See, right now, you'd be like, it's just making a bed. It's just doing it when they telling me to do it. I do it when I get to it. All of these form habits. They form habits. And you'll start seeing how you coming up short when you get in high school, where you got other kids that are more advanced and moving quick and making moves and getting things done. And you just sitting back nonchalant. You better learn how to prioritize your time right now. Use your time. Everybody got the same 24 hours in the day. How are you using your time? How are you using your time? Jesus had a business mindset. He said, I need to do this now because it may come a time where I can't do it. Hebrews 3. So, young folk, start prioritizing your time. Use that calendar on your phone. Use the task list on your phone. Set an alert to remind you of what you need to do until it becomes a part of you and you do it without needing a notification. Hebrews 3 and 5. Y'all still with me? And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, or God's house, as a servant. For a testimony of those things which would be spoken after. The next business principle, you're not going to learn this in college. You're not going to learn this in grad school or your favorite online application. When you're business-minded, young folk, you're faithful in God's house. Remember I showed you Matthew 6, 33 earlier? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, when you really about your business, you're going to keep God's business in order. It's cool to be a part of the team at school, but you need to be involved in God's house and find something in God's house to be faithful concerning. God honors folk that serve him. I said God honors folk that serve him. And so Moses in the text, the Bible says that he was so business minded when it came to him doing things in God's house, God found him faithful. I really push for young people and young adults. You need to find something in God's house to be a part of and be faithful to that. So God can look at your life and see you serving him and bless you accordingly. See, most people in the world that many young people admire, they're faithful when it comes to natural business, but they don't serve God. And so they're missing out on the blessings of the Lord. But what will it say about you if you keep God first, you serve him in his house, and you on top of your natural business? You got the complete package. Whatever you do in God's house, be faithful at it. Amen. Tell somebody, say, whatever you do in God's house, be faithful at it. That's a business principle. So much so that when Jesus was 12, he told his own parents, I must be about my Father's business. Now, Jesus had his own business. He was a carpenter. But here the scripture records, he's saying, look, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. Whether you're in leadership or not, be diligent, be loyal when it comes to God's business. Be there, sow into it, participate, do it with all your heart. That's God's business. How many know we should take God's business serious? How many got some God's business? Yeah. Proverbs 20. Oh, Lord, I'm finna step a little bit closer to your front door. Can I step on your yard? Okay. We looking at essential business principles for business-minded young people. Oh, Lord. Proverbs 20 and 7. The righteous man walks in his... His children are blessed after him. When you got a business mindset, young people, you have integrity. You do folk right. Listen, you do right or according to God's word. You just don't do things for money. You do things for money, that's fine, but you do it because you have integrity. You do things because you care about people. Just don't do it because of the money. I'm doing this because I care. I care about people. That's integrity. When you have a business mindset, young people, and you have integrity, you are a person of your word. If you say you're going to do something, you make sure it gets done. What? Your name is on. That's integrity. Integrity, young folk, is having pride in what you do. No, I just can't do something just to get by. No, I got to do my best. My name is on this. Now, I could settle for just for being a C student, but I got the ability to be an A student. Let me do my best. What do you call that? Integrity. You do right. You do what's right. by people and by God. Integrity. Man, I can't call myself a leader and I'm living any way but a leader outside the church. Let me tighten up. What do you call that? In? Integrity. Integrity. You're doing that which is right according to God's word and what's morally right. If you owe somebody, what you do? What do you call that? Integrity. If you borrow something from somebody, you make sure they get it back, listen, in the same or better condition. You don't let somebody loan you something and then you give it back and it's jacked up. Now y'all arguing over it. It wasn't like that. Somebody lying. Have integrity. Yeah. Hey, I used such and such, and I messed it up. I don't loan my trucks out no more. I let somebody in the church years ago use my truck, and get this, for church business. Didn't have no dent in it. But when I got the truck back, guess what it had in it? A dent. And guess what? They ain't even say nothing. I said, no, enough is enough. You don't do stuff like that. If you dent it, at least say, hey, man, I dented your truck by mistake. Let me pay for it. Let me pay for it. I let one of my wife's relatives use our car. These her folk. Check this out. We were going out of town. This has been years. We were going out of town. And so the person in her family, her kinfolk, knew we were going out of town. These weren't the Bakers. These were her folk. They said, look, can I use your car while y'all out of town? And we let them use the car. They throughout the week, everything is fine. They were going here, going there, doing what they need to do. So we coming back into town. We needing a ride from the airport because you got our car. You know the folk we let use the car wouldn't even come and pick us up in our own car. These her folk. That ain't no integrity. I'm glad she admitted it. But folk a trip. Look at somebody say, folk a trip. But as God's folk, we need to have integrity. Have integrity. If you ever in a position where you have to borrow money from somebody or the church, you make sure you pay them back. What do you call that? Integrity. We got to going through financially so bad, I had to ask the church for a little loan. And they were shocked when I paid them back because they had so many people at the time that guess what? See how my audience done got quiet? Some folk a trip. You don't do stuff like have integrity. I told y'all I was stepping close to the front door. Now I'm finna kick in the door. Oh, I know I'm finna make somebody mad. Now let me get this out the way. Y'all love the pastor? All right, let's go to Exodus 3. I'm giving y'all business principles. I know if you apply these, you're going to be so much different than your peers, and it's just going to be obvious. Because most young people and young adults in our day and time, they ain't got a clue. I said they ain't got a clue. Exodus 3 and 5, I'm finna bust through the door right now. Look at this. This is God talking to Moses. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your what? Sandals off your feet. For the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, this was God's business. God was introducing himself to Moses, and Moses came to the service, and God told Moses, look, take your sandals off because the place where you stand is what? Look at the business principle. You got to know how to dress for an occasion. Young folk, you have to know how to dress for an occasion. I told y'all I'm busting through the front door. Because many young folk in our day and time, they know the occasion, but don't know how to dress appropriately. You got a job interview? Don't you go to the job interview in your pajamas. Don't you go to the job interview looking like you just got out the bed. When you come to church, this holy ground. I know if all you got is all you got, but how many know you can fix it up? You can get a safety pin and do some things. You can get a blanket and do you got to know the occasion. Come on now. If you invite me to prom, the occasion is requiring for bow ties, suits, jackets. If I show up in my basketball uniform, you looking like the devil is alive. You ain't taking no picture with me. You got to know the occasion. Young folk, you got to dress for the occasion. Every young man, you need to have a nice dress shirt, at least a white one. You may not have no black, gray, or brown yet, but at least have you a nice white shirt. Why do I need that? Because one day you may have to go to a banquet with your football team. One day the coach may say, everybody wear ties on game day. And you don't want to be the one to show, I ain't got none. No, you got to know the occasion and how to dress. You got to have your iron and know how to use that iron. Mama used to tell me, you look good, Jerome, but you got frog eyes. What's frog eyes, Mama? Is where you done put on a shirt, but right here and right here is wrinkled. You got to iron that out so you look crispy clean. Some of us got the clothes for the occasion. You just don't like to clean yourself up or iron them clothes. You're getting too old for that. Look at somebody say, you're getting too old for that. Match your socks for the occasion. When do we start wearing Mitch Mac socks in public? That ain't the occasion. I knew I was going to make some of y'all mad. You can't fix it. You just got to say it. You got to know the occasion. You going out to eat with a nice young lady? Dress like she's special. Look nice. Fix yourself up so she can remember you from the other one she trying to decide that she gonna choose from. Set yourself apart. Oh, you didn't know she got options? You didn't know? Look at somebody say, you didn't know? There's some smart, good-looking young ladies in here. They got options. You ain't the only one. At least she can say, he knew how to dress. I wasn't embarrassed. Young people, on a serious note, whatever the occasion is, carry yourself in that manner. Carry yourself in that manner. How many know this is a timely word? That's just business. Ain't nothing wrong with your braids or your twists, but keep them done. Have them looking nice. Pop up when you on the scene. Make sure that line is tight. Invest in your appearance. Why is this important? Because the Bible teaches man judges by the appearance. But God judges by the heart. Man looking at how you look. Ain't no way around it. I said man looking at how you look. And finally, since my beeper done went off, Psalm 112. Y'all getting these good business essentials? Because I'm getting ready to present some young folk that got it going on. They've been doing business. And I want you to see that it's happening here at the MSW. Yeah. And I'm not telling you when they come up here, they're perfect and flawless. But they're doing business. Let's look at Psalm 112, last one, and then I'm going to be done. Y'all like this kind of teach? Okay. I'm doing the best I can. Notice, Psalm 112 and 5, a good man deals graciously and lends. But this is what I want to deal with. He will guide his affairs with discretion. One business practice, young people, you got to start practicing, is how to be discreet. Be discreet, cautious. Don't tell everybody your business. Don't put all your pictures online. Don't tell everybody where you're going, who you going with, when you going. Handle your affairs with discretion. Be careful. Folk looking for opportunities or ways to get over or to pry in your life. And plus, there are just certain things in your life that only you and certain people need to know about. Handle your affairs with discretion. Everybody don't need to know how much money you got for your birthday. That's your business. Okay, because folk will look at you if you tell, man, I got $1,800 for my birthday and graduation. Why they need to know that? Because they're going to be looking at you like, well, tonight, it's on you. That ain't none of their business. Keep your business your business. You find yourself, I'm having feelings for this person. I'm falling in love and all it is. You guard yourself. You still don't need to tell them everything about you. You don't need to tell them everything about you. Don't tell them about your mistakes, your hit list, or nothing. You don't tell them none of that. That's your business. And read between the lines about that hit list. Everybody don't need to know your business. Because you get to tell us some folk your business. They're going to be like, ooh, you a hoe. No. Don't tell everybody your business. Because in your mind, ooh, it's under the blood. But in their mind, they were like, no, you a hoe. That's your business. Handle your affairs with what? Discretion. Be cautious. Have some discernment. You got to be clever in the day and time that we're living in. You're not going to get rich taking somebody's course in 30 days. It don't work like that. Have some discernment. These folks trying to get my money. Have some discernment. And so it's important for us to have a business mind. And so now we have some essential business principles. How many saw at least one of them that could help you? Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson. Just do these five little things.